This podcast is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum, Father of the Flame, and ThisPipeLife.com. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Yeah, good evening to you, sir. How you doing tonight?
Dude, it's been such an exciting time on Country Squire Radio recently that you've been getting into the JD.
Man,
It makes me happy, dude. I mean, I feel like this is the prime time of Country Squire Radio, so we've been living it up, you know? It's good. It's Halloween. We're excited. We're going to do some giveaways tonight, talk about a bunch of good tobaccos, and man, this is a good season for us.
Man, this is like the best. I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again, but when it starts getting this kind of weather outside, this is prime pipe smoking season. And and of course, man, there's no better place to enjoy a pipe than here at the Country Squire. I got to tell you, man, when I walked in this evening, I found a group of several pastors. What do you call a group of pastors? Is that a gaggle?
Yeah, I think that's a gaggle.
A gaggle of pastors.
Yeah, that's the biblical term.
Yeah, that's right. Southern Baptist pastors. So they're all sitting.
Oh, they were Baptists?
Southern Baptist
pastors. That was a trifle of pastors.
A trifle of pastors. Yeah, they were trifling because they were here. They were smoking. These are Southern Baptist pastors. And you know where they went right afterwards?
The liquor store.
The liquor store.
That's what I'm talking about.
Now, that being said,
they must have been Reformed Baptists.
I think they probably were. If nothing else, by their deeds, we know them. And but one way or the other, they're sitting here. I had a great time getting to know a couple of them. But I do want to give a shout out to one in particular,
because
and forgive me if I'm saying this wrong, but from Picayune. You know,
Picayune, Mississippi. Yeah,
Picayune, Mississippi, about 2 hours out. So by the way, shout out to Josh Brady, who's a listener of this show.
Man, Josh, good friend of the show, good friend of the Country Squire
and
Radio,
and just exposed and to his entire Squire. Congregation that he was smoking and drinking.
No, that's exactly right.
We never actually
saw
him. And
I'm sure they're
drink.
All listeners, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing. All the Baptists listen. They just don't tell each other.
Tell each other. Right.
Yeah,
so none of them will admit to this. Right. No, Josh, a good friend, and actually makes his own beard oil, which is really neat.
His own
beard oil, beard balm, and products like that. So, anyway, great guy, longtime pipe smoker, and good friend.
Not surprising in the least. He was representing with a pretty manly beard. Man, of course, we got some stuff going on here in the local community. We actually just had the Jackson Pipe Night.
We did,
this
man.
Last past weekend.
Dude, it was awesome. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was all right. It's fine.
Yeah, it was all right.
I mean, it was okay.
Oh, you're just bitter because you didn't come in like top five.
Hey, look.
You did okay.
No, I did. No, don't patronize me. I did terrible.
I don't know. So we had Jackson Pipe Night. Of course, it's our annual night where we do, our long smoke competition, our live music, food and drink, and all this kind of stuff. Had people come from all sorts of out of town places. I think the farthest we had was our good friend Chase Abels from Lafayette, Louisiana. Just had a great evening. It was a lot of fun. Followed it up with some Jackbox TV games and just had a great night. But yeah, man, we smoked Texas tea, right? It was the blend that I made for the Texas slow smoke competition, and so I thought we'd use that in our own slow smoke competition. And man, it was just it was great. It wound up being good. People realized the times were a little lower this year because Texas tea is a much more heavily cased aromatic than we've used in the past. You know, we generally use a non-aromatic, a Virginia, something real clean and simple, and this year it was a sweeter blend, and I think it came out good. It was good. So but the Jacob Bowser was our winner, and Jacob came in at 53 minutes, for a slow smoke competition, that's a low time, but for a slow smoke competition using this particular blend, he did well. He actually beat I think the closest competitor by at least 8 minutes, so he did a good job.
Well, and that's the other thing too. I mean, he was a newbie, so I do think there was kind of some beginner's luck going into this. But he did a very respectable
last
job.
Last time he smoked his pipe was like 4 months ago.
Look, I will say this. I think in terms of aromatic smokers, a lot of aromatic smokers have tuned in and they're enjoying the Texas tea. There are a lot of English smokers that are some contenders in the long smoke or slow smoke competitions.
Yeah.
They were trashing some Texas tea, and it's like, dude, it ain't the tobacco, man. Like you need to own up. We saw Briar got beaten by his wife.
You just got to own up to your own. limitation. Yeah, no, Briar, our good friend and longtime listener and friend here at the shop, got beat by his younger brother, who hardly smokes a pipe, and his wife.
He got beaten by his brother and his wife
here,
right
in, the
here in the shop.
He got beaten by his wife. We sat here and watched it happen.
We watched it happen.
We didn't intervene at all.
I mean, he had it coming.
Yeah, no, he did.
He really did.
He was asking
really
for
did.
It.
She right. did. She did a fantastic job.
Right.
She really did. And then, of course, you know, those of you who've been tuning in for the last couple weeks, you know that we've been building up not just to the Jackson Pipe Night, but also the UK Pipe Show happened this last past weekend. Now, we had the War of the Roses. We'll talk a little bit more about this later, because we know now who the winner of the War of the Roses is. I don't know yet. I know that we have the results in. We'll read those at the end of the show.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. Great, okay.
I'm really looking forward to that.
That's awesome.
I have a feeling that history is going to correct itself and York is going to be triumphant, but we will find out near the end of the show. We do have here at the top of the show, though, prizes that we're going to be giving out to club members. Now, those of you who are tuning, y'all are already on it on the memes and stuff.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We do have some gifts to give out, some prizes to give out to club members, man.
Yeah, dude, this is great. You know, we this was actually kicked off last month by a listener and friend of the show. You know, we were given a can of Penzance. He had tried a can of Penzance. Barry Pettis, he's actually from South Mississippi, and did try. You know, he was able to get his hands on a can of Penzance, tried one bowl, and was like, you know, this really isn't for me. But it's such a coveted tobacco. Mm. I'm not going to let it go to waste. I'm going to gift it to Country Squire Radio, and we chose to gift it back to you guys. And so we just decided, you know, in light of that, just to kind of make October the month of treats. And so each week we debuted a different thing that we just decided to give out. And so we've got Penzance, we've got Pembroke, we've got Hunting Creek from the Country Squire. We've also got Corncob Pipe and a Button Nose from Cornell and Deal. So
all the treats that'll lead you all the way up to Christmas.
No, that's right. Yeah. So we're giving
all this out tonight.
Going to give all those out tonight to Country Squire Radio club members.
Oh, snap. Yep. All right. So should we say that at the end of the episode, we'll make the official announcement then?
Whatever you think. That's probably good.
We'll do it at the end. I do want to say, though, this is going specifically to club members who signed up from the beginning up until this episode being recorded. So we got to give a shout out to new club members.
Yeah.
Man, we got joining at the Squire level, Darshan Patel.
Yeah, Darshan. Thanks, man.
Shout out to Darshan. He is a Squire member. So thank you so much for joining at the Squire level. We also have at the Pilgrim level, Kevin Cathcart.
Cathcart. I think it's Cathcart.
All right.
So it may be Keithcart.
Keithcart.
But I bet it's Cathcart.
All right. So his name was Keith. His mom left him in a cart, and then they just decided to call him Kevin. Welcome.
I think that's it.
And thanks for joining at the Pilgrim level, brother.
That's right, we really appreciate that. Absolutely. We're so grateful to y'all.
So you guys are in the running as well. Stay tuned to the end of the show to find out who the winner is. And last thing I'll say before we jump into the meat and potatoes of this episode is, of course, that we've got the Country Squire Radio custom corncob pipe competition going on as well.
Dude, that's right.
If you haven't picked up a Missouri Meerschaum pipe and started working on your custom job, do it now, because we want to go get those in before the official date's going to be around mid-December. We're going to announce that as we get closer into next month. But go ahead, pick up a Missouri Meerschaum pipe. Do kind of a holiday custom job on it. Could be Santa Claus. Could be a snowman. Could be something completely different. You know, maybe you're really into the Power Rangers and you want to make the red Power Ranger, but he's Santa. And you want to make that out of a corncob pipe. Pick yourself up a Missouri Meerschaum and do that.
Yeah, of course.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
All right, man. So you mentioned that, of course, you wanted October to be the month of treats. Why is that?
Because it's Halloween.
Oh, is it?
It is. Tomorrow is.
Okay, all right. So as we record this on Monday, it's Halloween. So this is Halloween week, which means it's our Halloween special episode.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, every year we try to do something interesting for this particular episode. We've done sinister pipes before.
That's right.
Pipe villains before.
Pipe smoking villains.
Smoking villains, which is always fun. And this year we thought it'd be fun to do, instead of sinister pipes, we thought we'd talk about sinister tobaccos. You know, our favorite tobaccos for Halloween or maybe other reasons. You make a great ghoul.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
You're ghastly. It's fantastic. So you know, we thought we would kind of explore this and have a little fun with you know, folks' different ideas of you know, what makes a great Halloween tobacco, and generally put it out there as sinister tobaccos. We wanted this to kind of be listener driven, which is always fun. We have our own thoughts on sinister tobaccos, but we wanted to kind of open this up to some of the listeners. So, it's interesting. I think a lot of folks went with, you know, kind of the you know, the obvious points for Sinister Tobaccos. They may have gone with something that, you know, was intentionally named something kind of devious or ghoulish.
Sure.
You know? Of course, there's a whole bunch of tobaccos that, that fall in that realm. Several people mentioned the Rise of the Monster Mixture from Cornell and Deal.
All right, wait, hang on. The Rise of the Monster Mixture.
That's right. They come out with a Halloween blend each year, and so the blend is called Rise of the Monster, and it's the...
Interesting.
Yeah, and so anyway, they always come out with a variety of tins. There's four different tins, I believe, and each one has a different artwork. But on average, they're all the same tobacco. So it's one of those, you know, you kind of collect them all.
Oh, okay, all right. So yeah. It's almost like getting like a comic book, but the cover is different.
Yeah, no, that's it. Right.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
That's right. Yeah. So they're always candied apple flavor and real smooth, easygoing tobaccos.
Okay,
that, you know, you open the tin, and it's got this kind of you know, soft fruity flavor. It's just real easygoing.
How do you do a candy apple? You know, I think about candy apple just being something that you break your teeth onto as soon as you bite into it, and if you're able to get your teeth all the way in, you get the razor on the other side of the apple.
No, yeah,
I mean, like, apples were very frowned upon growing
no,
up.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, you know, I think it's a hard blend to pull off, but they do it well. Of course, Cornell Deal has like 8,650 blends.
Oh, they're fantastic.
In their repertoire. So you know, they just make it fun, and it's something that they come out with every year. Lots of new artwork, and you can always have fun with that. So another one that several members or listeners mentioned, and you know, just kind of going along with the obvious theme of you know, Halloween, spooky, you know, all that kind of stuff, we've got Sleepy Hollow from Strauss Tobacconist. Sleepy Hollow, this is a blend been around a while, you know, and several folks actually recommended this. We had listener Mike Heitland and Gene Boker, both, you know, through the club. They were, you know, just mentioning how much they kind of put this right up there with their favorite, you know, Halloween blends. It's just, you know, a soft, fruity flavor of the season kind
of
thing.
Dude, it is an aromatic tobacco.
Yeah,
it really is. And actually, I've actually got some Sleepy Hollow right now.
Yeah, yeah. Is it open?
It is. So this was actually a gift from one of our listeners in Texas.
Okay.
Dropped this on me. And, you know, the first time I actually had Sleepy Hollow was when I was in Vegas. Hochter the Love Doctor actually gave me just a little bit, not a lot, which, not complaining, Hochter, it was delicious. And it really kind of almost made me obsessed with it because it was such a unique smoke. Have you ever smoked before?
I haven't. I've smelled it one time.
Man, take a whiff of that. Because, I mean, like, you feel like you just opened up the candy box right there.
Wow.
Right? It really does.
But there's, it smells like gingerbread.
Right?
Like there's a spiciness on the end of it.
It's like pumpkin spice. It's vanilla. There's a lot of flavors going on. And, like, you know, you
light it up. Man, I can feel that to my bones.
Right? All the way down to your bones.
All the way down to
all the way
yeah.
down.
Man, that's interesting. It's you can really it's a cutting real generously sweet flavor. It's very pleasant. Yeah,
I will say this about it, and I don't know if this is just this year, this particular blend, but we were smoking some right beforehand, and man, this is also a very wet tobacco.
Yeah,
so like it's a challenge to keep this one lit.
That's what I hear. You know, the reviews on Sleepy Hollow. Of course, Strauss Tobacconist, they've actually been around since 1880. They're one of the oldest tobacconists in the United States, which is pretty awesome. They're in have two locations in Cincinnati and then Florence, Kentucky. But they you know, this is one of their most famous sought after blends. It's got a cinnamon spice note to it, pumpkin, and some folks say like kind of a warm confectionery or maybe a warm you know, pastry flavor, like a bread or a spiced loaf or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
man.
But yeah, it goes back to, you know, you do hear what you just mentioned, the stickiness of it. It's kind of a hard tobacco to keep lit, but it just has all those flavors of the season, and so it makes a good Halloween tobacco.
Oh, it's so good.
Coming in, you know, just another one that a lot of folks mentioned, just due to obvious kind of reasons for, you know, naming and association, the Devil's Holiday Tobacco, of course, by Dan Tobacco. Hochter the Love Doctor, our good friend, mentioned that. And, you know, honestly, I think this tobacco, Devil's Holiday, was actually named after a song from like the, you know, 40s or something. So it doesn't have a lot to do with that the spooky thing other than just a cool name. You
so
know?
It's kind of like the devil went down to Georgia. He was on holiday and looking for a soul to steal.
I think maybe so. And then it wound up blending a great tobacco. I don't know.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Dan
Is
tobacco,
it great though?
The reviews are good. I've actually never had it before.
Interesting.
We have carried it in the shop, but I've never had it. Dan Tobacco, of course, they're the ones that make Blue Note, Gordon Pym, Bill Bailey's, Balkan, several interesting tobaccos. That these are blended in Denmark. They're all relatively hard to get, but good tobaccos. Most of them are going to be aromatic. But Devil's Holiday, it's got blackberry, cherry, raspberry, and honey. So a lot going on. Just generally, generally, aromatic fruit, food, confectionery, smorgasbord. It's like the kitchen sink of aromatics.
Isn't any cherry tobacco technically the devil's tobacco when it all comes down to it?
No, it may be. Maybe particularly saying, to your tongue.
The artwork on that one for the 10, do you recall what that resembled, like the way they depicted the devil?
Well, yeah, no, he's something kind of creeping over the name of the tobacco, and I think he's smoking a pipe, and it's just a really bright red can. Yeah.
Interesting. I think I've seen that. When's the last time that y'all carried that?
It's been a few months now. It's not one of those real popular sellers, but it's one that occasionally people come in, like to try, and then just to say they've had it in their collection.
It catches your eye. You see it right there, and it's like this thing. It's staring at you, and it's like, who could it be? Who could it be? Who could it be? Could it be Satan?
Satan. Speaking of that, the next one comes in at number four. We've got another popular one that folks, I think, just kind of associate due to the name. And that, of course, is one of the best-selling aromatics on the market right now, which is Cult Blood Red Moon.
That's the one that actually I was thinking of before.
And Cult, it's an incredibly popular tobacco. And I really, it's a great tobacco. It really is a good tobacco. It's aromatic tobacco. It's one of these. It's a chocolate cherry, essentially. Some people get some vanilla in it too, but this is a chocolate cherry tobacco. Think like a maraschino cherry, one of those Queen Anne type cherries dipped in lots of sugar syrup and chocolate and all that kind of stuff. It's really, really good. It's a moist tobacco, I don't necessarily know why it's so popular, but it really has kind of developed its own cult.
It's the branding,
it really has.
Man. No, like there's something about
I think their
the
marketing
10.
Is just stellar. Yeah. It really has been phenomenal marketing. And so, as far as that goes, they've done a good job promoting their brand. And it's one of the most popular aromatics right now in the United States. So.
Yeah, I don't get into that kind of like occult iconography or anything like that. I mean, even in like games where you have like, the warlock or the death knight, I typically go paladin.
Yeah,
like
I'm all kind of against it,
But the thing is, like there is, I do remember that 10 specifically because it immediately, as soon as I saw it, I was like, what is this?
It's funny, I generally shy away from that stuff as well. Even during Halloween, I've never really dressed up as like a ghoul or a goblin or, death or anything like that. Yeah. That's never really been
my
style.
Well, you're too old for that kind of stuff.
I'm too old for that kind of stuff. But, now it this tobacco, for whatever reason, people have smoked it. It's gotten really popular and it's taken off.
Interesting.
So I like the take, though, that a lot of our listeners had with Sinister Tobaccos. And this is kind of, this is an alternate route that they took on some of these tobaccos and one that that I can really relate to as a pipe smoker. A lot of folks took the Sinister Tobacco route as one that a tobacco that maybe left them scarred a little bit.
Personally sinister.
This was something that they had an experience with. Maybe a haunting or they may as well have been may have preferred to be attacked by a poltergeist.
Yeah, no, they're still
smoke this particular tobacco.
They're still working this tobacco out with their therapist.
That's right. And there's great therapists out there, and they need work to make a living too.
Absolutely.
That's good.
And that's what these tobaccos exist
for.
Put those therapists through, get them paid.
At some point at the Country Squire, we are going to create a tobacco called like Mordor or something like this, where it's one of those things.
Bowser's Castle.
There is that. But interestingly enough, kind of an aside note, I have been smoking more Latakia recently myself, which is funny. I just don't smoke a lot of Latakia, but one of the Latakia blends that some folks around the Squire have recently been experimenting with, and I'm actually not the genesis of this, so I can't claim credit, but they took Bowser's Castle, which of course is like, last time I checked, I think it's 30-40% Latakia, something like that, but they've been mixing it with our blend Black and Tan, and this has become a really popular tobacco, and so it's one of those that we may talk about more in the future and might even become one of our house blends because it's just it's gotten to be really popular.
So really? Anyway, I gotta try that.
Stay tuned on that, but just kind of that soft black Cavendish kind of mellows the Bowser's Castle out a little bit. So
Mordor is coming.
Anyway, a lot of folks went with this kind of strong tobacco that maybe scarred them for life kind of thing. thing. And of course, our friend Nick Curley, he mentions that Gaywith and Hogarth Happy Brown Bogey might be one of those tobaccos. It's a rope tobacco, much like the other Gaywith and Hogarth tobaccos that we've talked about before on the air. Rope tobaccos, again, lots of burley, heavy burley, not lots of processing. So it's just very raw leaf and just tons and tons of nicotine. So, he said it is certainly strong enough to be a considered a ghoulish
sinister tobacco.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So something that's going to knock you out.
That's right.
Yeah. It doesn't have your best interest in mind.
It just doesn't, but probably has a great taste. Of course, if you need to choke a goat ever in your life or,
You got to do that.
Then, that will be the tobacco that you'd want to feed the goat. Right.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
Other listeners, Brendan Marconi, he mentioned GLP's Temple Bar, which is a good tobacco. Now, we've talked about Greg Peace, of course, good friend of the show.
Absolutely.
Big fans of his tobacco. I've mentioned on multiple occasions that I want to be Greg Peace when I grow up, which obviously is not going to be anytime soon. But, Temple Bar, popular tobacco, one of his newer blends. This is Virginia's, Orientals, and Perique. And what they do is they actually layer these tobaccos in specific order and then press them into cakes. And this is sold at as a plug. It's a plug tobacco that comes in the normal kind of canister style tin. But our friend Brendan, he says, Temple Bar is a great, smooth, but full-flavored smoke that invariably has the effect of nailing me to my seat with a serious case of the head spins.
Oh, snap.
And so, I have a lot of experience with tobacco similar to that and think this, it qualifies certainly as a sinister tobacco.
I love that. These type of tobaccos, by the way, those of you that actually submitted the ones that have personally, attacked you, That's my favorite. I mean, I love the seasonal blends and everything else, but these in particular.
I think so. These have more, direct affection, for people.
That's the best kind.
Yeah, they've almost, just brought you 6 feet under kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what we're going after. So, our good friend Matthew Butler, who's been a longtime listener, a good friend of the show and of the shop, he actually says one of his most sinister tobaccos, believe it or not, is one of Cornell and Deal's old Christmas blends.
What?
And it is Golden Days of Yore, which I think is really neat. This is a Christmas blend, right? It's a time of joyous celebration and festivities and turkey and mistletoe and vomiting.
But that's the thing. Don't forget in the song, there will be scary ghost stories and da 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 da.
Oh no,
scary ghost stories is part of Christmas.
That makes sense.
It counts.
So he says, when I think sinister, I think sneaky and strong. I remember my first time smoking Cornell and Deal Christmas blend, Golden Days of Yore, thinking how pleasant of a smoke it was while drinking. While driving. He was not driving and drinking.
He was actually smoking
the tobacco while driving.
Okay, right.
So he said, when I got out of my car, I quickly realized that my equilibrium was failing, so I had a good sit down for a few minutes. Maybe it was my empty stomach, maybe it was the tobacco, but it was very sneaky and sinister either way.
And so, either way, you shouldn't have been driving, it sounds like.
You had an empty stomach. I don't know.
I've been there.
Cornell and Deal typically pairs well with driving.
Yeah.
We support Cornell and Deal and driving. Maybe not Golden
just,
Days
just
of
not, just not Golden Days of Yore, not on empty stomach.
And maybe not Matthew Butler doing that.
Right. Well, that's the thing.
And then, of course, I have to submit my own for this.
Ooh,
just to wrap up, smoked again one of my favorite strongest tobaccos. And, of course, this is Dunhill Royal Yacht. Now, we talked about Royal Yacht on the show before. This is a Virginia blend. It doesn't say so, but I'm convinced it's loaded with Kentucky Dark Fired Burley, which just, of course, is just dripping with strength. It's just one of these things that you can smell the buzz when just in the leaf, in the raw leaf. It's just such a good tobacco, but so strong. And Royal Yacht, it's one of those tobaccos that I like to smoke when I read. It helps me focus. It kind of makes your heart thump a little bit. And so it's one of those things that is a good tobacco when you're trying to kind of center. But it's one of those that you really can only smoke, for me anyway, like maybe half a bowl full. You know, I just can't do more, even on a full tummy. You know, I just can't do
you
more.
Can't
than,
handle it.
I just can't handle it. Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I have smoked too much and then been forced to sit in one location, for several minutes after that.
Wow.
Just to not yak.
Is that one of those blends that you smoke in and it's like your skin just jumps right off your body?
I think it kind of does. It comes off my body, you know, like I feel exposed, like, you know, maybe there's not anything covering me.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Like you're just out there hanging out. Yeah. Did you recently smoke some out of curiosity?
Not too recently.
Okay,
but the effects linger, you know? So,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I may still be under the influence.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. All right. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
That's
so,
good to
know. So sinister tobaccos, man. Do you have any sinister tobaccos?
You know, I mean, you know, it's already been mentioned, but, you know, when I think of kind of a Halloween tobacco, the Sleepy Hollow is really what I go to. Ever since I got exposed to Sleepy Hollow when I was in Vegas, man, it just stuck with me. It's one of these rare occasions where, like, the flavor made such an impression that I've thought of it several times since then.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, oh man, like I at some point I got to get some of the Sleepy Hollow. So I'm so glad to actually have some back in my possession this year. I've been enjoying it tonight. I'll be enjoying it tomorrow during all the trick or treating. And yeah, man, it's a great blend.
And the name Sleepy Hollow, you know, it is a warm kind of fall blend. You do think of autumn and all this, but it kind of has the, you know, the Sleepy Hollow. You know,
it's the like headless horseman.
Well, kind of, yeah, and it's creepy. You know, I mean, something maybe a lizard would crawl.
I mean,
out
correct
of
me if I'm wrong,
you know?
But Ichabod Thawne, not Ichabod Thawne, Eobard Thawne is from The Flash. Ichabod Crane. From the Headless Horseman.
Is that,
he's from Sleepy Hollow.
Okay.
And so, I believe that's where the name is derived from. But like that's the thing. Like, it is such a, it's the candy man. It's the candy man. Hey, oh, do you know about David Pumpkins? Have we talked about David Pumpkins?
How's it hanging? I'm David Pumpkins. Any questions?
Who's a David Pumpkins?
He's his own thing.
Really?
You don't know about David Bumpkins?
No, I have no idea.
Saturday Night Live did an animated special, a Halloween animated special, where they took this character created by Tom Hanks on the Halloween episode of SNL last year called David Pumpkins. And so it was so popular. It was kind of one of these like out of nowhere sleeper hits where it kind of occurred during the election. So like while the country was so polarized, the one thing that everybody could agree on was that David Pumpkins is hilarious.
Yeah, no.
And it's Tom Hanks, because, you know, who doesn't love Tom Hanks? So this year they made in the style of kind of like Frosty the Snowman and you know, those kind of animated holiday classics, they actually made a David Pumpkins Halloween special in which David Pumpkins appears into the pumpkin patch and helps kids realize the true meaning of Halloween.
Oh, that's good.
Which is candy.
Right.
Like at the end, the kid's like, oh, I get it. You wanted me to believe in myself because that's what Halloween's all about. It's like, no, man, it's about the candy.
It's about getting as much candy as you can, man.
Yeah, get that candy,
man. That's
it. That's what Sleepy Hollow is. Get that candy, man. It's delicious, just like David Pumpkins.
That's fantastic.
Well, here's the great thing, man. You know, the amazing thing is, because there are so many different taste buds out there, since there are so many folks that have varying sinister tobaccos, from the kind that is sweet on your taste buds to the kind that will just rip the skin right off of you. If you're sampling a lot of these tobaccos, you can't do that with a well-seasoned pipe. You're going to have to do that with a pipe that is built specifically to get a clean smoke every single time.
That's right, a fresh pipe.
Oh, the freshest of the fresh. And of course, I'm talking about the pipes that you get from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. They're affordable pipes, and so if you are trying some of these Halloween blends out, or any other sinister blend, or maybe non-sinister blend for those of you that feel like being pansies this time of year and like eating those sweet little delicious Christmas treats, even though they may make you sick. Anyway, you got to have a clean pipe to try these things in. Something that obviously is going to give you a good experience, the purest form of the tobacco, and something that will not be cost an arm and a leg.
You know, the great thing too is that a lot of people get Missouri Meerschaum corncob pipes this time of year because they are so affordable, and Missouri Meerschaum goes so well with so many different costumes. You know, maybe you are Popeye the Sailor Man, maybe you are actually, you know, some sort of a general that you're looking for.
Frosty the Snowman.
You can pull that off this time of year. There's nothing wrong with it. But one way or the other, if you have got a corncob pipe, if you're incorporating your Missouri Meerschaum into your costume this year, take a picture, send it in to us. We love to retweet those out. That's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know that you appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man, pipe question of the week. Now, this is great, man. Pipe question of the week this week is actually brought to us by a sponsor, our good friends over at Father the Flame.
Yeah, man. Shoot. Father the Flame.
All right. Now, I know that a lot of you guys have been looking for an update from the good folks at Father the Flame. This is a documentary that kind of walks through kind of the pipe carving process and just the community surrounding kind of the pipe smoking community. It's one that we've been invested in just personally from, you know, from the last several years.
Well, of course, we have some really good friends over there.
Oh, absolutely. I'm wearing a Beardcore shirt right now, as I always do on the show. To show my love and support for Beardcore, who's been
you ever
producing
that?
No, never. I wear it every single week.
I think he'd approve.
I just I leave it here and put it on right before the show.
Oh, that's foul.
Father the Flame, guys, they are having an online auction to help raise funds. They're doing the sound mixing right now, and it is nearly complete. The film is almost there, but they need some help to get it over the finish line. This auction, it's going to contain pipes by Lee Eric, who, of course, is featured very heavily in the upcoming documentary.
That's right.
Another Michigan narrative. Native Robert E. has some pipes, a unique pipe by, and you're going to have to help me with this.
Chacombe. They made the Father the Flame logo pipe, right?
Ooh.
And we've actually got a couple here at the shop, but they're readily available at some different places and are high quality pipes made by the French pipe maker Chacombe.
That's right. And so they're looking for folks, of course, to participate in the auction. But if you've got some like pipes or some prizes that you also want to donate as part of the auction as well, reach out to our friends over at Father the Flame through email, social media, basically wherever they can be found. Yeah, man, this is going to be great. And that is coming later this month. We're really excited about it.
Yeah. Got some, like we said, really good friends at Father the Flame. We know, you know, they've worked really hard on this and they're getting so close to the finished product. And so we want to help push them over the top. We're excited to do that.
Absolutely. Details on Facebook, Twitter, we'll be putting that out there. And of course, in the show notes for this episode. All right, man. Pipe question this week comes in. This is from Sean Quinn, who says, "Good day, gentlemen. My favorite tobacco is McClellan's Syrian Super Balkan." Now, obviously,
good tobacco. Man,
oh,
good
yeah.
tobacco.
Yeah, that's some flavor palettes going on right there. That means nothing. obviously, it's not available anymore, but a few weeks before they ran out, I ordered about 10 tins.
Good.
He says, five are left. He gifted a few, smoked a few, and kept the rest. His question is multifaceted. How do I preserve what I have? He said it was tinned back in 2006. And when it's gone, what do I move on to?
yeah.
Says, thank you. This, again, is Sean Quinn.
Yeah, man, Sean, I'm just glad you got these tins when you could. I mean, this was really fabulous tobacco. And this is coming from someone who doesn't smoke a lot of Latakia, as most of you know. This tobacco is, it was so interesting. Of course, Syrian Latakia, it's semi-sweet, just kind of a smooth, sultry blend that, you know, it just left you always wanting for more. Mm. I loved this tobacco. It was so, so good. And I wish more people would have gotten a hold of it when it was out. But anyway, yeah, so you've got these tins. They were tinned in 2006. You know, and I'm guessing that Sean, you have deduced this from looking at the bottom of the can. You know, and so, you know, what you'll want to do before you cut the can open, you'll want to, you know, make sure that you have, you know, just the best place to put it after that. And so you're going to have, you know, some mason jars ready and things like that. But honestly, the can that the tobacco is already in, it's going to be, you know, the best place to keep it until you're ready to open it. So as long as it's in a cool, dry area, you know, not or a dark area, not overly hot or anything, the can in its unopened original tin will be just fine. And you know, this is you know, tobacco that'll keep for a while. Of course, Latakia ages well, and you know, the lifespan of it is relatively long. I'm thinking, you know, if this was made in 2006, you're probably looking at peak like right now, or maybe next year or the year after that. So, you know, you're going to want to go ahead and probably start opening these cans, smoking them up, you know, maybe keeping a few, you know, closed up for posterity, just to say you got some put back kind of thing. But the prime smoking for it, I think, is going to be right now.
That's good.
Yeah. You know, as far as moving on to the next thing, what, you know, what you're going to enjoy and what, you know, is going to bring you pleasure down the road that's similar, you know, that's anyone's guess, right? I mean, it's this is a hard thing to figure out for all of our Syrian Latakia lovers. Of course, Syrian Latakia, it's more floral, it's more complex, it's got, you know, maybe people would say less strength, you know, more subtlety to it. So, you know, I think you just look for a blend that maybe has some of those things. Of course, we always love the Throgmorton blends. They're good, kind of softer, tobaccos that feature Latakia. But, you know, there just really is nothing like Syrian Latakia. You may look for tobaccos that have Latakia in them, but also are more of the Lakeland school of tobaccos. So maybe something from Gaywith and Hogarth, Sam Gaywith, something like that. You know, we'll have to think about that and see if anything comes to mind of what could be a good tobacco for our Syrian folks to pick up. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Our episode that we did back on Syrian Latakia, I guess it was several months ago at this point, but, on YouTube in particular, that has been one of our most popular viewed shows, because I think there's a lot of questions in terms of, you know, what's been going on, what happened, and then, of course, what do you do with what you got?
Yeah, so that's right.
That's a great question. Thank you so much for sending that in, Sean. And hey, if you got a pipe question of the week, send it in, show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quickfire with the Squire.
All right, quick fire question.
Ow!
All right, man, we got some quick fire questions in. These come in from the good folks over at thispipelife.com.
That's
thispipelife.com. More information on them in just a second. Now, this is actually from user over there, Ghost of Pompeii. Appropriate, since it's
it's good.
It's Halloween.
Yeah,
I keep forgetting. It's weird. I keep on forgetting that it's Halloween.
That it's Halloween.
This is our Halloween special.
No, there's nothing around us that would remind us.
Kind of feel like we should have done a bigger deal or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I agree.
Ghost of Pompeii. He writes in. This is continuing on from last week with this kind of Halloween themed questions. Are you ready, sir?
Yeah, bring it.
Full orchestra film score or synthesizer?
Oh, full orchestra. The synthesizer has its place, right?
And I think its place is in horror films, because that's the thing. You got to remember, like, this is specifically in the horror genre.
Oh, okay. No, okay. I got you. Synthesizer. You know, actually, my fiance, which I'm still having to get used to saying.
Yeah. Can I just say, ever since you got engaged, you're just glowing. There's
you
just something
glowing?
About you that just looks a little different. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't
it's
know.
She really has brought something out of you. That's for sure.
I certainly feel better. So.
Thanks. Absolutely.
We're going through Stranger Things again, right? The Stranger Things show, of course, it's a Netflix original.
Uh-huh. Right.
Everyone's watching it. We won't talk about the next one, hopefully, because I haven't seen the next
one. Don't talk about the first one. I still haven't seen the first one.
Yeah, well, we're going through the first one right now. We won't mention any specifics, but it does have kind of that early 1980s kind of feel to it, and the synthesizer just real prolific through there. So, I go with the synthesizer. That's good.
Like you said, the synthesizer has its place, but horror movies is definitely that place.
Yeah.
Two-legged werewolves or four-legged werewolves? Is the werewolf standing up, or is it
running
fours?
Like a dog?
That's
kind
right.
Of thing. Yeah.
That's right.
I'm probably going to go with running like a dog.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think if for some reason, even though that would probably be slower, well, I don't know. Maybe it'd be faster.
I think
that's scarier to me. Because it's less human.
See, that's the thing. I always assumed that when the werewolf was running like a dog, it was more of like a warg. It was like more wolf than man, you know? Like just kind of a beastly wolf, as opposed to a werewolf, which is more of the one standing up. Now, I mean, you know, you could do the hunched back and all that kind of good stuff, but I think I'm going to go with two.
Okay.
Savage looking 30 days of night vampires or pretty boy Twilight vampires? Well, we know where you're going with this one.
Right. Obviously.
Sparkle baby, baby sparkle.
No, I think I'm going to go with the savage looking vampire.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go right in the middle. I was a big Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan back in the day.
Okay, that's fair.
They did kind of a cool thing with the lore of it. And I don't think Joss Whedon actually came up with this. I think he actually stole it from somewhere else. But where the vampires actually, when they look like human until they start like demoning out, in which case like their foreheads kind of expand and they have kind of this, you know, that raised eyebrows and all this other stuff.
Yeah, no, that's right.
It's a little bit kind of a blending of the two. And I liked that because you didn't quite know who was a vampire until it was too late. It's creepy.
Good deal. Okay.
All right. And then also we've got one giant spider or a million little spiders.
Man, there's nothing more terrifying than a million little spiders. Like, then they're crawling all up in your mouth and stuff. And like, you got those, you know, old mummy movies and stuff where they're just like, you know, all the scorpions are getting on you and everything. Like a bunch of little tiny creepy crawly things that can take over and consume you. That's just awful. That's awful.
It does make your skin crawl. I think
it's cutting.
It is.
To the soul.
We need to talk about this tamp that you've got here. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
That is true. I am more of a fan, I think, of like the big spider, though. I just like the fantasy element of like a giant spider, like seeing like Samwise Gamgee up against like the big Shelob and everything.
Yeah.
That
makes sense. It's probably more epic feeling.
It is.
Than creepy.
But at the same time, that's what you're going for, right? It's creepy.
No, yeah.
But like, remember, all right, so I know that it's not as beloved as the Lord of the Rings movie, but in the Hobbit movies, did you ever watch the Hobbit movies?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so they're in the wizard that was smoking something that was not tobacco in his pipe. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
I guess I don't remember that.
I can't remember the guy's name, but he was like the brown coated wizard. And so he was in his like, he was trying to like revive this hedgehog. And in the process, there were giant spiders crawling outside of his house. And it was creepy, man. Like it was creepy.
That's what you get for reviving hedgehogs.
Giant spiders is what I'm going to go with right there.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Ghost of Pompeii. Of course, Ghost of Pompeii, a user over at thispipelife.com. Amazing online community. If you haven't joined up yet, use the code CSR when you do. It lets the good folks over there know you heard about them from this show. We love the folks at thispipelife.com. Not to be confused with thispipewife.com.
That's right.
The number one online dating site that does not exist
yet.
Use the code CSR when you register at thispipelife.com.
The thing is, if you're on thispipelife.com, which you should be, you may find, you know, Mrs. Claus there.
That's right. That's
or,
true.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying it could happen.
I love that you want Mrs. Claus even though it's Halloween. That made me happy.
Yeah. Well, you know,
or
Minnie Mouse.
Whatever you dress up as.
Or, you know, or if you're a female and you're listening, Mickey Mouse.
CSR. CSR. CSR to sign up at this
point. It's coming off the rails here tonight.
All the
way. Coming off the rails.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man, listener feedback. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to dedicate listener feedback to one thing only tonight, and that is the UK Pipe Show. Now, of course, the UK Pipe Show, we've been building up to this for the last several weeks. The War of the Roses, the pipe tobacco showdown that has never seen the light of day, like no other pipe tobacco showdown has ever been as epic as what transpired in the UK this last past weekend.
That's right.
War of the Roses coming back, Lancaster versus York, Lancaster specifically versus the White Rose, two various Country Squire tobaccos smoked in the UK. First of all, before and again, I have not read this email. I don't know who the winner is. I assume.
And I don't either.
Do you not?
I really don't.
So you don't know either.
I have no idea.
So we're going into this like completely cold. All right, yep. Here we go. All right, so this is in. This email comes into us from Toking Tommy. Toking Tommy, by the way, representing Yorkshire.
We had Yorkshire guys.
Yorkshire.
And we had Lancashire guys.
Lancashire
right?
guys. Yeah.
And so these guys, of course, representing their various hometowns is a good spirited thing, right? And then we get this
That's
feedback.
Right. That's right. All right, here we go. All right, so he writes in. This is again Toking Tommy. He says, "Hello, Country Squire Radio. First of all, I'd like to say I give a huge thank you to both JD and Bo for all the shout outs for the UK Pipe Show on the podcast, and of course for the White Rose and Lancaster samples. By now, though, you've no doubt heard the tragic news that somehow Lancaster won."
Oh, Bo!
And
I'm sorry, man. That's got to feel like death.
It feels like the hand of death just grabbed my shoulder right now.
Just grabbed you, yeah. I'm sorry. So Lancaster won. Okay. Despite being the
I can't read the rest of
inferior blend. Would you like me to pick up?
Yeah.
Okay. So he says Lancaster won. Lancaster beat White Rose.
Why?
As
Why?
The as the winner between the two.
You course. People.
And so he says, now I'm not saying that there was any cheating going on, as I trust James implicitly, but a rematch may have to be held under stricter observation in the future, which leads me to say that there will definitely be a show in 2018, hashtag UK Pipe Show 2018. Maybe we should try to go to that.
Dude, I am so in.
That would be awesome.
I might have another trip to London that I'm trying to like coincide around that time.
Yeah,
so
it could be good.
It's going to happen.
Okay. So, more details to follow in the new year, but hopefully it'll be in the summertime. I'll keep everyone posted when there's an update. I'd hope to get some film footage From the show and the War of the Roses, but it was just too busy on the day. Trust me, we understand. Bo and I, of course, have been to pipe shows and host events here, and we try to get as much media as we can, but we get it. There's a lot going on, particularly on these kinds of days. He says, but despair not, because there was footage recorded by some of my fellow YouTubers.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Smoking Mr. Rhubarb, the Peachies 13, mm-hmm. And the Pipe Modus. If you check out their channels, you'll find videos of the show. And for now, I've attached some photos, which we'll post later, yeah, of the event for us to enjoy. So anyway, thank you once again, guys. You really do rock. Keep up the good work with the podcast. Your friend, Toking Tommy. Bo, I'm genuinely sorry.
Tommy, no, he said it himself. There was foul play potentially at work here.
There could have been.
You can't trust those Lancasters.
Well, I'm just saying, Lancaster. You know, is it one of those things that, you know, do you find the...
That's,
you know,
how they won the War of the Roses in the first place, man.
You think like funny business?
They murdered the children, the York children. They murdered them. Yes, exactly. Exactly. They took them out. But anyway, guys.
Well, that's tough, dude. We're just so glad y'all had a chance to smoke our blends and, of course, have some fun with that. And, man, it's so great to see, the pipe culture flourishing in the United Kingdom. And man, we're just glad to be a little part of that.
And I will say, you know, so like going to this, we really didn't know what was going on. I tried very hard to get some UK pipe show attendees, yeah, to actually tell me who won. And they would not do it because they wanted it to come specifically from Tommy, who put on the show.
That's really cool.
By the way, yep, all the feedback that we heard from UK was that it was an amazing event. The location, the venue, as I understand it, the canal actually runs right through like the shop somehow. Like there's like the hangout
area.
That's
just bizarre.
It sounds so cool. So I really do, who knows what the future holds, but if there is any possible way that we can make it out to you guys next year, we absolutely will. So really, really great stuff.
Yeah, maybe we should start, putting away some shekels for that.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, the people who help make this show happen, who help support the shekels that make the show happen, why don't we reward them a little bit? Because of course, we've got some giveaways here at the tail end of the show.
That's right.
Which one do you want to give away first?
Man, I think we should go with the corncob pipe and a button nose.
Corncob pipe and a button nose. All right.
That's right.
All right. First one up.
So, of course, you have to be a Country Squire Radio club member. As of when was the last time we updated the list?
Literally today.
Okay. Today. So you can't. Monday. So we hope you join tonight, obviously. But if you do join right now, you will not be in this drawing.
But the next one.
You could be in the next one because we're going to do this periodically. This is something we do for fun, just to reward our loyal, faithful listeners.
All right. This comes in from member number 53, Travis Robinson.
Travis Robinson. You have won a tin of Cornell and Deal, corncob pipe, and a cut and a button nose.
And I tell you what I'll do. The great thing is this is being recorded, so I'll be able to go back and figure out exactly who won later for my notes. All right. Next one up. What's the next prize?
The next one is a 2-ounce bag of Hunting Creek, straight from the Country Squire. Of course, we hand blend this here in our shop. And it's one of our more complex blends. It's an English aromatic. It's one of those that has just several ingredients in it. It's kind of a cocktail, but a nice, warm, smoky blend that's also sweet. You'll get notes of vanilla and, some nuttiness, but it's also going to have a nice Latakia background.
And I've been enjoying the vanilla, like aspect of a lot of tobaccos right now.
Yeah.
This one goes to our 85th club member.
Okay.
Brian C. Hanford.
Man, Brian Hanford. Congratulations. Yeah, absolutely, right, man. We'll be sending you 2 ounces of Hunting Creek from the Country Squire.
All right, and next up?
We've got a tin of Pembroke from Esoterica. So this is going to be one of the bigger prizes here. We've got Esoterica blends, obviously harder to get. Pembroke is a really special blend. It's cognac flavored and one of their more interesting tobaccos. They're always pushing the envelope with these different casings, and we think whoever wins it will be happy.
This one's going to John Kirk Griffin.
John Kirk Griffin.
Our first ever, he was our fourth member and our first ever Pilgrim member.
Oh,
actually.
That's great.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah. So
good.
Congratulations, John.
Man, that's great. Yeah, congrats, man. We're glad to send this off to you and hope you make your friends jealous. And finally,
the big daddy.
The grand prize, the tin of Penzance that does have one bowl missing in it. It has one bowl missing in this particular tin, but it's in good shape. We've taken good care of it here at the Country Squire. It's ready for your smoking enjoyment, and we're about to send it to
This goes to our 60th member, Miller.
Miller.
It's Miller time.
Dude, congratulations. That's great.
Man, all right. There you go, guys. Thank y'all so much. And by the way, I mean, like, just beyond this, and we love to kind of dote on you guys when we get a chance through some of these giveaways from time to time, which we hope to do more of in the future, of course. But those of you who are helping make the show happen, even those of you who are patrons, especially those of you who are club members, that goes a long way. And, you know, we're October Halloween is kind of kicking off the holiday season, and holiday season is in of itself kind of the winding down of the year, but also the start as we kind of look into the next year. And so looking at things like possibly going to the UK Pipe Show and actually bringing you guys to the UK Pipe Show virtually, that's something we would love to do. And so, you know, who knows what the future holds, if that's something that'll be possible. But those of you who are able to support the show, y'all are specifically making the show happen every single week, and allowing us to be able to bring more and more great content to you, and that's exactly what we strive to do in the future as well.
That's right. That's right.
Despite what you may have heard, death is nowhere near the show.
Are you sure?
I love how we have so many visual gags going on for a podcast.
Yeah, no,
it's
great.
This is good. This is good. All right, guys. Well, man, you know, we've got, of course, a lot of great things that are going on, though. You can keep up with us throughout the week. Tune into our own Halloween nights by following us on Twitter. I'm at TheRealBoYork.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
Well, hey, of course, you can keep up with us what's going on for our trick-or-treating experience and beyond by following us throughout the week. I'm at TheRealBoYork.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can catch us at the shop @_CountrySquire.
Of course, that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com, where you can tune in live on Monday evenings at 8:30 Central Time. That's a lot of other times for your own specific time zone, which I don't have right in front of me right now. So, hey, Google it. You'll figure it out. It'll be great. 8:30 Central.
Because, you know, math.
You know, that's right. It's a little difficult. Hey, look.
No, it's 8:30 Central, 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern.
I had to choose four random numbers out of 1 and 97, which, by the
way, that's enough math for one.
We have had 97 people sign up for the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club. We are just three away from member 100. How about that?
Dude, that's amazing.
Is that not incredible?
Yeah, we're so close.
And, you know,
the
great thing, of course, is that as we build up to the new year, you know, since we launched the Pipe Club at on New Year's, those at the Squire level who joined in that first year will actually be getting their names on the wall here pretty soon. No, so it's going to be major milestone.
That's right. I didn't think about that. Because we, of course, for 1 year at the Squire level, you do get a brass plaque on the wall at the physical Country Squire. So if you ever do make it to our shop, your name will be here to see.
Absolutely, man. Well, hey, trick or treat?
Dude, trick.
Let's go have a night.
Yeah, let's go have a treat. See you, brother.
Been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.